take home message. I wouldn't even have thought of doing such a thing as we have just been doing without Satyananda Swami's association and Borijan Prabhu. And I was thinking as I was hearing the sharing session, reflections, that the power of brahminical strength, the few devotees here that know Borijan from personal experience, he's a very brahminical personality, and a lot of what those of you that were sharing something, a tool that was particularly beneficial or something that you'll take with you, a lot of that comes from him, like this one mantra at a time. It's got, in parentheses, Borijan Das at the bottom. So knowing that, I was very much appreciating how the power of brahminical service. And in chanting, one of the big obstacles in chanting is it's not fruitive. Like, apparently, what do you get from it? When people see the devotees chanting on the street, in the past, they don't see that so much anymore, but when they were seeing that, they would make remarks like, get a job. Meaning, you know, you're wasting your time. Do something useful. Or why are you out here begging? Anyway, not understanding the benefit of a simply devotional activity, and we're sitting in the privacy of our homes, where there's not big assembly of devotees like now, which is what many of you will be facing tomorrow morning. There's the memory of some nice event in Charanagati, but then something needs to resonate and stay with you and continue to power a sincere effort to chant nicely. So the Sankalpa ceremony is to help focus. This is intention, offering to Prabhupada, and I want to refer, just like in concluding remarks, to that chart, what Satyanandan Swami calls the alignment chart. We didn't spend so much time on bodily posture. We will start with, I'm going to make some offline remarks to certain persons about their bodily posture, right? Because by slouching, right, like Juna was commenting, the devotees that were kind of either walking or slumping or something when Prabhupada came in, everyone was sitting up, and not just sitting up, but sitting straight. And it helps attention to do that consciously, or any picture of that you see of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Any slouching? No slouching. Very, very powerful personality. So, alignment of body, then bringing the mind to the sound of Krishna's holy name, and in turn opening the heart to receiving and calling Krishna's holy name, and combining all three in alignment praying that Krishna will open that magic door and that his mercy will come pouring through, so that meeting with Krishna in the form of his holy name, in Rupa Goswami, I wish I had the exact words of Rupa Goswami, but when that the holy name enters my ear, I wish I had thousands of ears and chanting, I wish I had thousands of tongues, and when the holy name enters into the chamber of my heart, that the happiness that knows no limit. There's nothing that compares to our loving relationship with Krishna. So each of the different steps in that alignment process are important. None of those steps should distract us from the holy name. They're to assist us. They're attendants to the holy name. And for that matter, anything that we do in our life that's beneficial or auspicious, its full fruit is that it helps us come to the holy name. I want to read a couple of messages. If we provided you the song sheet for Kevalastakam Yadavar, could you sing that? Madhuram Madhuri Apiopi. We have song sheets, or it's on the board here. Mm-hmm. Do you know the melody? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll end with that. But something that I read before, earlier in the retreat, was this very nice phraseology or rendering of Shikshastakam number 6, excuse me, number 5, that Mahanidhi Swami put together. I'll read again and see if you can just, some of you say you like to close your eyes, so you can close your eyes, there's no distraction, or just hear with your hearts. Nice prayer to Krishna. O Nanda, O son of Nanda Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. I am your servant. I feel deeply within myself that I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you, but somehow I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I am under unfavorable circumstances. I am suffering, and without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present imprisoned condition. So, chanting in such a mood, how will Krishna not hear that? And when Krishna hears that, how will Krishna not reciprocate? And Krishna's reciprocation may be this, or it may be that. But we can count on Krishna's reciprocation. And if sustaining, we were discussing in our talk down the little canopy area there, about the mood of humility of an advanced Vaishnav. The mood of humility of an advanced Vaishnav is always humble. That is, they're feeling themselves not qualified. But although they're feeling themselves not qualified, as we may also feel ourselves not so qualified, there's acknowledgement that Krishna is merciful. His nature is he's merciful. And so, in that, you can't... This is what Queen Kunti's prayer teaches. This is a review of something we were speaking earlier, but by carrying a humble mood, one can call feelingly. And when calling feelingly, we know we're calling Krishna's name and Krishna's there. It's an apparent contradiction. We're calling Krishna's name feelingly, and we know that Krishna's there, but we're also feeling unqualified to be in Krishna's presence. Krishna's present, but we're feeling incapable, too much covered and contaminated to be able to receive Krishna. That humble mood invites Krishna. And sustaining it is not, in other words, it's not at some point, at last. Now I don't have to be humble anymore. That the nature of advancement of great souls is they're extremely humble. And in that humble state, they're hankering for Krishna. And that taste, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the word Trishna. Who knows the meaning? Trishna. Specifically, it's thirst. Like in Harinam Chintamani, remember way back in November we were discussing Harinam Chintamani. And there, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are three categories of anarthas. Who can remember those three categories of anarthas? One of them has the word Trishna in it. Asat Trishna. Thirst for the temporary. Another one is Hridaya Dorbalyam. There's another gap. We know what is to be done, but we don't do it. And why don't we do it? Weakness of heart. And the third is Aparad. So we want to avoid Aparad. Down in that other discussion, Aparad is also there, but it can also be Asat Trishna. So cultivation of going more deeply into the chanting of the holy name requires casting aside Asat Trishna and putting something else in its place. Krishna Trishna. Thirst. And the nature of thirst for Krishna is that thirst is never quenched. It's never, now I've had enough. When one is genuinely thirsting for Krishna, and Krishna sees that thirst, he reciprocates. It's never, I've had enough. It's one wants more, one wants more, one wants more. Greed, like a materialist, wants more and more. A humble Vaishnav wants ever increasingly eagerness, thirst for contacting Krishna. And then Krishna's there, but still that mood of humility should be maintained. Here's another appeal in thirst for Krishna. Not that, wasn't it? How delightful is that sound vibration? Okay. Oh, Lord Krishna! I offer my obeisances unto you. Please fix my bee-like mind in the nectar of your lotus feet. This is Rupa Goswami. O Achyuta, from Stavamala. O Achyuta, even though the great Lord Brahma in his trance of samadhi is unable to see even a particle of the effulgence emanating from the tips of the nails of your lotus feet, still I desire the vision. For I have heard of the wondrous waves of your mercy. So, humility, but what's my qualification compared to Lord Brahma? And even Lord Brahma does not even get a glimpse of the rays of the toenails of the Lord's lotus feet still. I desire that very much. And I'm counting on one thing, your mercy. I've heard there's waves of mercy coming from you, and so I'm shameless. I'm desiring this mercy from you. O Madhava, although my devotion for you does not come forth even a tiny bit, because you are the Supreme Lord above all, you are the accomplisher of the impossible. Madhava is a name of the Lord to indicate the husband of the goddess of fortune. So as the husband of the goddess of fortune, he possesses everything and owns everything, and he can do anything. He can accomplish the impossible. Like another Rupa Goswami metaphor is a child crying for the moon. But Madhava can deliver the moon. We can't reach the moon. But Madhava is so merciful, we can reach the moon. Touch with our finger. He's so merciful. Then he prays, Rupa Goswami prays to his elder brother. O Sanatana, your lotus feet surpass you the nectar of the gods. Finding in this lotus flower of your feet the essence of sweetness which is endowed with truly wonderful mellows, I pray that today the bee of my mind may eternally reside there. He's requesting his elder brother to be merciful and to assist him by his mercy, by granting this mercy, to achieve that mission impossible. These expressions of Rupa Goswami are they're the mood of an advanced Vaishnav. So we're not advanced Vaishnavs, although we may be trying to make a little advancement. From these advanced Vaishnavas, we can understand the mood that's to be cultivated to go more deeply into the process of bhakti and more deeply into the chanting of the holy name, to experience a taste for the holy name, an attraction for Krishna, just by following in their footsteps. These prayers, they offer us that opportunity. I wanted to read in conclusion just a couple more of the ones I didn't read. The Padyavali prayers by Rupa Goswami. The attempt to attain the heavenly Swarga planets impoverishes the entire world. The desire to attain impersonal liberation brings only trouble. The regimen of yoga is dry and tasteless. What is the use of endeavors like these? I will abandon them all and simply make my tongue chant, Krishna, Krishna. The author is unknown. Another, this is Sridhar Swami. Oh wait, we read this. O Lord, is your impersonal spiritual effulgence not always present everywhere? Even so, it has not been able to break even a single small leaf from the tree of repeated birth and death. On the other hand, the moment your holy name is taken by the tongue, it thoroughly shatters the tree of birth and death down to its roots. Of these two, spiritual effulgence or the holy name, which should be served? And by Srila Lakshmidhar. The holy name of Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberated persons. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions, and is so powerful that save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation and is identical with Krishna. Simply by touching the holy name with one's tongue, immediately effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, the Purusharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for all these activities. It is self-sufficient. There's two more. Sri Bhavananda is the author. O Lord, just as a miser continually collects, counts, and remembers his money, in the same way, let us continually collect, count, and remember your holy names. Then Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there is no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen, conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attainment from chanting. So, Dina Tarani Mataji asked for a copy of these Padyavali prayers. I'll send them to her and I'll send them to Nandasutta so you'll have them. Nandasutta became inspired to, in your home, there's a Sri Namrita, Namamrita book, BBT publication. So, I'm thinking to send out to all the attendees on a daily basis some little quote or some nectar about the glories of the holy name to help keep the fire going. Certainly an opulence that's growing within ISKCON, the increased attraction for kirtan and japa and taking shelter of the holy name. That's the foundation for our spiritual lives. There's so many varieties of service that will naturally come out of an appeal for service. Krishna will give us service as you progress in your chanting. Don't be surprised when more service comes your way. No, that's not what it means. But the quality of your service should also increase. The quality of Krishna consciousness, because Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, the holy name is everything. So the attachment to Krishna while chanting Krishna's holy name, being present with Krishna while chanting Krishna's holy name, and being present with Krishna while serving Krishna in various forms, that consciousness, awakened consciousness coming from the chanting of the holy name. This is our basis. So, take these things home with you, practice them, and share with others your realizations and appreciations as you go along to help keep the fire of Krishna consciousness strong. And we'll conclude here with singing. If you have the sheets, you can follow along with the sheets, and otherwise we'll just follow along with the words on the wall of Kevalashtakam. Yeah, we had the sheets and we passed them out. We collected them again? Okay. If you happen to have a sheet, you can refer to it. If you don't happen to have a sheet, look at the wall. Okay, fantastic. And when we finish kirtan, it'll make it a lot easier so that no one gets lost. We're going to go in a caravan towards Banbihari Mandir, their home, their temple. And then from there, we'll go to lunch. So I think when there, because lunch is not going to be till 1 o'clock, we'll have some time for kirtan or whatever, you know, getting some of their association. So don't, if you go elsewhere, see you later. Stay together so we don't lose you.